The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here on a Thursday afternoon. More of your calls, more guests will start showing up here in just a few minutes. As we continue here, let's get Austin up next. Hey, Austin, good afternoon. Austin, you there?
Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, great. Nice of you to call.
Oh, thank you. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I was just calling a couple callers ago. A guy called in from Alabama, talking about Tommy Tuberville, and reminded me of a little story. So me and my wife, we get married April 23rd, 2016. So we're going to go to Mexico for our honeymoon. So just like anybody else that lives around Birmingham, we drive to Birmingham, fly from Birmingham to Atlanta. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
Got like an hour, hour and a half layover. So we're pretty hungry, so we go in this – I can't even remember the name of the restaurant, but we go in this restaurant, and there's 3 people in there. It's me and my wife, and I look over in the corner, and there's this guy sitting there. He's got a white pullover on and a black hat with Cincinnati Bearcats written on it. Look over, and I don't really realize it. And I look again, and I say, holy crap, that's Tommy Tuberville. My wife says, who? I said, that's Tommy Tuberville, the Auburn coach. You know, me and my wife, huge Alabama fans. So I say, well, I mean, you know, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. He's just trying to sit there and enjoy his coffee, so I got to say something to him, you know. So I walk over there, and I say, hey, coach. You know, I introduce myself, and I asked him what he was there for. I think he said his son was graduating. And, anyway, so we have a short little conversation and everything. And the best part of it all, right, like here's this guy, you know, here I am, some no-name guy from Alabama, just a huge Alabama fan, and the head football coach of Cincinnati Bearcat. I say, well, coach, nice to meet you. I said, roll tide. And without missing a step, he looks me dead in the eye, gives me a thumbs up, and says, war eagle. I was like, are you kidding me? And I think it was – I couldn't help but smile, you know, because – I just think that resonates how deep our rivalry really is down here because, like I said, I'm some no-name. He's a Cincinnati Bearcats head coach. And it's still, you know, even then it was still in his blood.
Well, you know, Austin, not to get too deep into the political world, but I know a lot of Alabama friends of mine who couldn't stand him as the coach but voted for him for the Senate. Because they, you know, they could look, you know, that was no longer really the overriding issue. And, you know, he has a very engaging personality, as you found out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a very short conversation, like I said, maybe 2 or 3 minutes.
Sure.
But I mean, it was just, to me, that's still probably the most famous person I've ever met, you know. So I was tickled to death to meet him. And, you know, just like I said, just, 2 guys like that just throwing shots.
Well, he's even more famous now. So, hey, thank you for the call. There are only 100 United States senators, and he is one of them. Let's continue with more calls. I don't know who the most famous person Cat Daddy's ever met, but I'm sure it's pretty famous.
Big Paul, you looking good, sounding good. How you and your wife doing?
We are doing great. We're finally getting into spring, even though it hasn't officially arrived yet. I'm just glad to get rid of the cold, rainy winter. What about you?
I'm with you all the way, man. I can't wait to get back down to the Santee and do some fishing. Look at here. Clemson Tom come in here this morning, and we got a new product. It's called the Dill Pickle and Moonshine. We got apricots and moonshine, and we got peaches and apples and moonshine. He come in and got him a couple of quarts. And then he looked at me and said, you hear about Coach Dabo Sweeney? I said, no, what about him? Well, he went to Sears and had a vasectomy. I said, he went to Sears and had a vasectomy. He said, yeah. He looked at him and said, now every time he gets in the mood, the garage door comes open. I'm telling you, Clemson people.
I didn't know Sears and Roebuck did that, but that's a different store than it used to be.
Yeah. I hope it's inpatient surgery.
Hey, that's good. Hey, Cat Daddy, thank you. Always good for a laugh. Vern is up next. What you got, Vern?
I called the other day and left a few things for Tim Brando, and one of them was Kaywood Ledford.
Oh, right.
And I'm glad I've done that because I see other people has been calling about other good radio.
Yeah, in fact, tomorrow we are going to talk to some broadcasters. We caught the bug ourselves. So if you're around tomorrow, we're going to talk to some of the current broadcasters. But I did talk to someone today, and that that SEC story on the broadcasters will come out next fall. I think Kaywood will obviously be mentioned.
Yeah, listened to him for years on that Clear Channel out of Louisville.
Oh yeah, WHS.
As a youngster, which I'm 86 now.
Hey, you sound pretty good to me.
Well, I just wanted to let you know that I'm glad that other people are.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, it's it's become a thank you. It's become quite a subset here on the show. I think it's a nice way to talk about different things. Let's check in with Jerry, who is in Indiana. Hello, Jerry. Go right ahead.
Hey, Mr. Paul. How are you today?
Jerry, we are doing wonderful. How about you?
Well, I got to admit, it's a beautiful 50-degree day in central Indiana, but I wanted to talk to you about the Kentucky women's basketball game today.
Yeah, they look good.
I mean, there's no doubt that you got to have Ryan Howard. I mean, she's like the heart and soul of the team, but you got Chastity Patterson. But I wanted to give a big special shout-out today to Treasure Hunt. She only scored 9 points, but it was the things that she did on the court to help the team in assists and rebounds. Treasure Hunt had an awesome day, and she needs to be recognized for that.
So, Jerry, I was looking up. I missed. Who do the Cats play tomorrow?
They got Georgia tomorrow at 1:30.
Okay. Well, I hope you enjoy the game. The games will be on, obviously, tonight and tomorrow as well, right here. Palmer, thank you. Palmer, you are next. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing well.
Thank
you.
I was thinking about the Jay Randolph conversation you have with him yesterday. But back in the 60s, and I'm in Georgia, we didn't have any pro sports teams, you know, in Georgia. I mean, until the Braves showed up, and then the Falcons, and then the Hawks after that. But we used to listen to St. Louis. My dad was a huge St. Louis Cardinal fan and Washington Redskins fan. And the reason was because that was the only thing close to this area. And it was just wonderful when you were talking to Mr. Rudolph yesterday. It was just wonderful to listen to that conversation because it brought back so really, really dear memories to me. My dad was my best friend, and it was just wonderful to hear you talking about that. But I guess my question, more than anything else, is, I mean, just before 1965, there was really nothing in the South. You had the Redskins, professional football, and then you had the Cardinals, but there really wasn't anything except college football.
You know, I didn't think about that because, the Braves came later, and then the Braves became really probably the favorite team of everyone. And you know, then the Florida team started popping up. But, you know, Florida, I'm talking in terms of the Deep South. That's a good point.
Right.
Where I grew up, all I knew was the Braves weren't part of my listening. It was all about the Cardinals.
No, it was the Cardinals and the Redskins, and of course the Dolphins came along,
right.
And of course the Falcons. But of course we always had college football. You know,
sure.
I'm a dog fan. But that being said, I just thought, you know, it was just wonderful to hear you talk to Mr. Randolph, and it was great. I didn't know who you were talking to at the time, but it was just wonderful to, because I remember him doing, I was young, but I just remember him doing the games. I mean, it's Cardinals, we could barely get anything down here. I mean, I'm at Tybee in Georgia, but that being said, that's outside Savannah. But it was just wonderful just to hear that conversation and just bringing back, damn, really good memories.
Yeah, well, Palmer, thank you very much. And I think that's, you know, if you go back in time or even today, I mean, television's changed everything to a degree, although a lot of people still listen to the radio voices. But, yeah. I remember games far better in the past when you were listening to them, because you're picturing them, and the broadcaster is painting a picture which is etched into your mindset. We're now, you know, you're watching a game, you're looking at your phone, you've got another screen over there. It's not quite the same memory. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Andy Ketch, right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, we're back here on a Thursday afternoon. Welcome back to our program. Andy Ketch joining us. It's always good to talk to Andy, especially this time of the year, as the field is beginning to crystallize, or about to, with the conference tournaments around the corner. Andy, good to have you back. What's going on?
How are you, Paul? Always a pleasure. I wish you'd call more often.
I try. They only give me a couple of minutes a month on my new phone.
What's crazy is we are a week away from, and me personally, I'm going to be at the same hotel in the same city, just different arena, because I'll be there for the Big Ten tournament, Lucas Oil versus Bankers Life. But it's just wild to me that it was March 12th a year ago. When I was at Bankers Life, 11:45 a.m., talking to Rutgers in Michigan, and they get pulled off the court. There's no one in the arena, and that gets canceled. Hours later, the whole thing gets canceled, and that night, I'm on a flight back home, and first time in my adult life, I was home in the latter part of March, and the whole world shut down. We're a week away from that being a year ago.
Right. And going into this weekend and to the next weekend, you know, there was a little bit of conversation about fans. There was no conversation about shutting it down.
No, it was crazy. I was reminiscing with some of my colleagues at Big Ten Network, and we were talking about this, that a year ago when we were at that game that night before when Indiana was playing Nebraska. And they announced that was like right around the Rudy Gobert stuff that night. And I think that happened at like 9. This was around 9:30. Right. And they said the first phase was they announced no fans at games tomorrow. And all the fans booed. And, you know, because a lot of Indiana fans were in Indianapolis. And little did we know that, you know, not only were there going to be no fans, there were going to be no games.
Extraordinary to think about. Let's talk about the lead up into the tournament. And, you know, every year you hear people talk about the bubble, you know, soft bubble, tight bubble. What's the bubble look like right now?
I would go that it's in the softer, it's like a soft avocado right now.
Soft.
So, look, the back end of the bubble, and this is why a school like Michigan State, or if Duke could have gotten their act together and not lost a couple of these games lately, they probably would have gotten in. Because when we're going deeper into the Mountain West and looking at Colorado State and Boise State, or, you know, into the middling of, you know, of the ACC or the A-10, that just should tell you that there are teams sort of ripe to be plucked off, and those spots are there for the taking. Now, this will be, and I just spoke with Mitch Barnhart, the Kentucky Athletic Director, yesterday, who's the men's basketball selection committee chair. We talked about this in the preseason. talked about it yesterday. It'll be posted tomorrow night about we knew this was going to be an unequal season. There was going to be inequities of records, of percentages, and that's exactly what happened. Not everyone played the same amount of games. So the evaluations are going to be much more difficult for the committee. I think for the back end, for the most part, we know sort of the first nine lines just in some order, but it's those last 4 to 8 spots where a week from now you really could put, you know, there's probably like 10 to 12 teams that could find their way in this last week in any order. And, you know, maybe only 4 obviously get in, but there's just so much fluidity in that back part of the bracket right now because there's been no consistency with some of those teams.
Andy, let's talk about the field overall, because depending on your favorite pundit, you are our favorite pundit. There is Gonzaga, Baylor, you know, take your pick from the top of the Big Ten and everyone else. Do you subscribe to that?
Yes. I'd say Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, even though they lost the other night, Illinois. I would still put Ohio State and Iowa in that top grouping. I mean, they're the favorites. But I would not dismiss for a moment the chances that Alabama, Arkansas, West Virginia, Florida State, those are sort of my next 4. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they were in the Final 4. They're all more than capable of ripping off 4 wins. They've all shown it at times. I mean, to me, the biggest surprise in that group certainly is Arkansas. And Eric Musselman's done an outstanding job of putting them in this position. Moses Moody has been phenomenal this season. They didn't get enough national recognition because, unlike some of the other schools, you know, they didn't really play anybody in the non-conference. Now, maybe if it were a normal year, they might have, but it wasn't. And so they kept it close to home, and they sort of just slowly crept up on the scene. And then with that win against Alabama last week, that sort of catapulted them into the top 15.
I'm going to put a pause on Alabama and Arkansas for a second. And after that, I'll cover the SEC teams for just a second. You have a pretty interesting list. Missouri had a big win last night at Florida. There's LSU. And, you know, there's just not a lot of, there's Tennessee, which, was the favorite going in. A lot of confusion about them. I'm just curious, anyone of that group that you think could be heard from?
I mean, amid that group, if I had to pick one that could win 2 games and get to the Sweet 16, I would go with Missouri because of their experience. And if you look at the games Jeremiah Tillman played in versus that he did not, it's a massive difference for them. Their victory, their one possession win last night over Florida, is a huge confidence boost for them going into the SEC tournament. Tennessee's been a complete enigma. I mean, they've just been all over the map. LSU, same deal. They'll get in. I don't expect them to last long, probably out after 1 round. And then before Saturday, I would have said, and Florida will be in too, but once again, I don't feel like they're going to advance. Kentucky still has the talent to win the SEC tournament. I don't feel it, but it could happen this particular year. I mean, it's all going to come down to the draw for them and how many games they'd have to play. I mean, there's a big difference between trying to win 3 versus 4 in Nashville. And even having some fans, I think, is better than no fans, because Kentucky people will go, pandemic or no pandemic, they'll have some sort of voice there.
Let me come back to Alabama and Arkansas, because everyone's always looking to looking at those two. Of those two, how do you compare and contrast in terms of the tournament?
Well, I think that Alabama, they've been much more consistent. With the sort of a trio of Petty, Jones, and Shackelford, I would feel more comfortable going with them in terms of their ability offensively to, they've had games with it. They scored over 100 points. And so Nate Oates has got them playing loose and free, and I would feel more comfortable thinking that they could go on more of a run than Arkansas, just because Arkansas is relying on younger players, and that tends not to be a great recipe, you know, for a deep run, at least not now.
Andy Katz with us. Andy, just in relation to what it's going to be like, everyone in the same general vicinity, you've covered a million NCAA tournaments. There's such drama with that. You get the selection on Sunday afternoon, and then the game's Tuesday, Wednesday. Then everybody's off from work on Thursday and Friday. For those who may have missed it, how different is this tournament going to be?
Well, I mean, the one tweak in the schedule is that the first four is Thursday, and people have to understand that was done for testing protocols. They just felt like they needed an extra day for the majority of teams, and so that'll be Friday, Saturday, then Monday, Tuesday will be the second round. The Sweet 16, the following weekend, the fact that they will be all in succession, not competing against each other, I think that's going to be a glorious thing that people are not going to want to go back from. I think that, in years past, you could not watch every Sweet 16 game because they were competing against each other. And I think that'll be a huge plus to have that, sort of on in their own windows. Look, there might be some complaining initially over the strict protocols and the quarantining. We might hear some of that. We might see some social media posts. But I think overall that the majority of these players and coaches that have sacrificed a lot to, their sort of their personal lives, to be in their sort of their own controlled environment bubbles, they just got to do it for, a week or two or 3 weeks more to compete for a championship. And so I think the newness, the fact that it's for a championship, the fact that we didn't have it last year, I think all of that will create some adrenaline that will power people through. And once we start on March 18th, I think it'll captivate, the sporting public for a three-week stretch. And I'll be very interested to see what we take out of this going forward and different aspects and say, next year, even though we're back to a more normal schedule, let's do this again. And I think one of them will be to avoid having games compete against each other.
Well done, Andy Katz, a busy man, especially over these next 3 or 4 weeks. Andy, we'll talk soon. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Paul.
Always great. Andy Katz, who remember used to go to the White House and do the president picking the bracket. Let's take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Dawn Staley, about 30 minutes away, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We're back. Great to have you here on a Thursday afternoon. Bob is up next in New York. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Bob, I am doing great.
All right. Hey, the other day, that interview with Gary Blair, what a treat. Coach Blair was awesome. Thanks for doing that.
No, he's become, I think he's one of the most interesting people in sports. He's just, he's 70, I think he's 75 years old. He has no interest in stepping down. He feels like he's making a contribution. It was just a textbook feel-good conversation about what a lot of us should aspire to be.
Well, I could tell you got a kick out of it, too. And my son played years ago in the Hullabaloo Band down there, and And the fact that it was during when the women's won it the last time. And he was so nice to the kids, would always speak, and just a real good guy. So my other thing, how do you think the women will do in the tournament?
Boy, I think they are in great shape. I mean, what they did the other day against South Carolina, what they've done all year, I would, you know, I'm not enough of an expert to make anything profound here, any kind of profound predictions, but they'll be a number one seed, and that's part of the battle right there. I think they'll be in great shape.
Very good. Well, Paul, it's always a pleasure talking to you, and have a great rest of your evening.
Thank you. Nice of you to call. Appreciate that very, very much. Let's continue with more calls. And John is in Nashville. Hey, John, thanks. Good afternoon.
Yeah, this is John in Nashville.
Yes, John. John, good afternoon.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. My question was, I listened to you and watched it on TV. My question was about the famous announcers for the different schools. And I'm 75 years old, and I used to go to Vanderbilt football games with my father. And even I graduated from Memphis State. But you remember Larry Munson?
Oh, sure.
And I think he was the voice of the Commodores basketball and football from starting in 52 or something like that.
He was a lot of people don't realize that. He was in Nashville before he became the voice of the Bulldogs.
Yeah. Well, so that was my question because he was really good. He would get excited. It seems like he was.
Thank you for the call. I think in terms of the SEC broadcasters, I mean, there are some incredibly great broadcasters in terms of style and texture. Larry is the most memorable voice you've ever heard. I mean, I remember I would flip on a Georgia game on a Saturday night driving somewhere. I didn't care who they were playing. I mean, they could be playing some directional school, but you had to hear Larry do the game. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that very, very much. Jeremy is in Georgia, and you're on the air. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, Mr. Golf, I'm Bob. I'm a longtime caller and listener, and I'm from Henry County, Georgia, that's just south of Atlanta, and I just had an easy question for you today. Who do you think's got the edge? I know it's not a long time off, but who do you think's got the edge in the UGA Clemson game?
We're heading into the first weekend of March, so predictions now are about as worthless as the weather forecast. But I like Georgia in the game. I think Clemson will be going through a slight transition, and I think Georgia has a chance to run the table during the regular season.
Can I ask you one more question real quick? Is it just me, or do you think Kirby Smart's getting a lot of unfair pressure, like, you know, as far as this season, you know? I mean, there's a lot of hype on Georgia, I know. But
Jeremy, here's what it is. It is, you know, for those of us who love college football and can talk about it every day of the year, it's a manufactured story, and I'll blame myself because I've asked questions about it. But, you know, I think he's done an extraordinary job during his 5 years. Everyone knows what he hasn't done. That's self-evident. But I don't think Georgia would have had this record had Mark Richt remained the coach. I can guarantee you that. So that's all you can really do. Nobody can do a better job than him. Don't give me Nick Saban. We're being realistic here. Someone who, you know, he's done as good a job as anybody taking over that program. You know, some years he's exceeded expectations, some years he hasn't. But he's got one of the four or five best programs in America. Is that good enough? I think it should be. Thank you for the call. Let's check in with Joe, who is in Orlando. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Joe, we're doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
And a big fan of yours.
I appreciate that.
Hey, I got a couple questions. Paul, I was in a Gator chat, and I told them that Florida would go 9-3, and, man, they almost threw me out of the chat. But what are your predictions on that for the upcoming football season?
I think you're being very realistic. I think Florida will slide back a little bit this year. And, you know, let me grab their schedule for a second as we think about this. They don't have what I would call a killer non-conference game. You know, their non-conference games are Samford, Florida State. Here we've got it on the board now. Florida Atlantic at South Florida, Alabama, Tennessee at Kentucky, Vandy at LSU, Georgia at South Carolina, Samford in Missouri. And, you know, I'm looking at that. And, you know, I'm just going to do this to myself. I see one loss, two losses, and maybe I think 9 or 10 is as good as I can go. I mean, I could see maybe a 10-win season, but I could also see I would be in that range. I don't think they'll beat Alabama. I don't think they'll beat Georgia. No. And then can they go to Baton Rouge and win? Right now, I would say no.
Yeah, well, it kind of scares me of losing Alabama and then, you know, how the head's down and then Tennessee beat them.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think the dangerous games are like the Missouri game on the road, kind of, you know, Kentucky on the road. I mean, you never know about those games. I don't have any argument. I couldn't argue at all that Dan Mullen has a really good program there. But I don't think it's in the same category as Georgia or Alabama. And LSU, to me, is the team you have to watch next year. Are they back?
All right. One more question. What do you think Coach Mullen's future? Because I looked at a couple of things. They say he's got to win this year.
No. By the way, who said he has to win this year?
I was looking at a clipping on the internet.
No, well, I listen, I don't want, I do not want to get into an argument with the internet, okay? But I don't think Dan Mullen has any pressure on him. I mean, I know there was some noise after the season that maybe he was looking around, but you know, that may be agent talk, that may be trying to shore up a new deal. There are a lot of you would be amazed at the games that are played by agents with their clients in the news media about talent and coaches. I think I slipped there. Coaches. So I think Dan Mullen is been a great addition to Florida. This was a rocky season, but that's nothing that happened this season is going to haunt him down the road. Hey, we're up against a break. Let's come back in a few minutes with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back here on a Thursday afternoon. It's great to have you with us, and Dawn Staley coming up here in just a few minutes. Let's get back to the calls, and Chuck is in Tennessee. Good afternoon, Chuck.
Hello, Paul. How you doing?
I am well, Chuck. How about you?
I got a couple of questions about Southern Conference football. They're playing now here in the spring.
Right.
What are they exactly playing for? Just a conference championship?
Yeah, let me – so I'm trying to remember the classification, but –
The FC –
Yeah, maybe the FCS. But they shut down last summer and decided to have their championship during the winter-spring period. So some schools – played on. Some schools played a couple of games. We had a coach on the other day. I think he was from Austin Peay. think they played three games last fall and four now. So that's I mean, they were, if you were trying to win a championship, you had to readjust. I'm not sure it was a great idea. I think it, like a lot of things last summer, I think it was a rush to judgment, but hey, doesn't matter now.
Yeah. So say if you were a high school player and graduated this past Christmas, mm-hmm. And you got a scholarship, say, to ETSU. I'm from up here in the Tri-Cities.
Sure.
Bristol Herald Courier. I get that every day. But anyways.
Sorry I missed out. You could have been my neighbor.
Yeah. They get to play this spring. Then they get to play this fall.
Right.
And then they have three more years of eligibility?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, a couple of friends and I were trying to figure that out today.
Hey, by the way, I have covered a game at, let me think, is it, what's in Kingsport? Is there a school
Dobbins
there?
Dobbins Bennett.
Okay, I can't remember. When I was in college, I came up there and covered a basketball game. Maybe it was in Bristol. I can't remember.
Viking Hall.
Yeah, it may have been. It was actually Tennessee was playing like a scrimmage game up there one day.
Okay, they go to Dobbins Bennett.
Okay.
They used to have the caravan come to Dobbins Bennett.
Okay,
every year.
I had a very close friend in Kingsport, so I spent a considerable amount of time there one of my years in college.
Yeah.
I like it.
So what do you think about the Bristol racetrack going to dirt this year?
I have not heard that. Wow, that's interesting. When was that?
Yeah, they've got it. It's all mud in the Bristol Herald Courier today. They had it in the sports page. Full of dirt. The Outlaws are coming back.
Well, you tell the guys at the Bristol Courier that if they'd offered me more than $1.15 an hour, I might have taken the job.
Yeah, I used to work for $1.85 an hour. You might have a couple years on me.
That was not exactly the greatest offer I've ever had. Hey, thanks. I appreciate it. Great to have you there. Let's. Belvedere is in Austin, Texas. Hey, Belvedere.
Hello, Your Eminence of Truth. How are you doing?
I am doing great.
All right. Hey, since this basketball season, I was going to ask you. I think Pete Maravich was the best player, at least in my lifetime, in the SEC. And I've got a story about him and George Karl. After that, I'll tell you right now.
Go ahead.
George Karl and Pete Maravich played. I was his first ball boy for the San Antonio Spurs, by the way.
Really?
And yeah, it was great. I'll tell you a story real quick here, Paul. So it was a non-paying job. Moses Malone walks up to us. I was rebounding with my twin brother, and Moses Malone says, "Who'd like to make some money?" I said, "Well, Mr. Malone, we would." He was 17, he came out right out of high school.
Sure.
He's playing for the Utah Stars. And he comes back with 200 tickets. And I said, "Mr. Malone, can we split this 50-50? He said, "That sounds fine." So he brought back 200 tickets. And you know how much, Paul, do you think that we sold the average for each ticket? Because the 200 tickets were to the visiting team, they didn't have any friends in San Antonio. What do you think the average ticket sold for?
It couldn't have been much.
200. 1972, yeah, 73. $3 a piece.
Wow.
Well, hey, we split the $600.
Man, you were off and running, Belvedere, on a get rich campaign. That had to be a pretty cool. How old were you again?
13.
Wow, I used to see those ball boys down there with great envy. Belvedere, I hate to run. We are heading to a break. Thank you for the call. We are going to come back in the next half hour and talk to Dawn Staley, the great coach from South Carolina, as her team about to play in the SEC tournament. We are coming back with that right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.